Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Michael from CFRN. I'm not sure if Dwayne's mic is working or not because he usually pops right on after the intro. Today is March 29th, Tuesday, March 29th, 2011. So far today we've had sort of an uptrending day from early on in the morning, from about 8:30 Eastern time, 8:40 Eastern time. Yeah, I can see Dwayne's having trouble with his mic there. It's been a trending day. You can see we had a bullish cross right there. I believe that's a 10,000 contract chart you're looking at. And you can see early on at about what time would that be? 11 o'clock, I believe, Eastern time. 10 o'clock exchange time. We had a bullish cross, and the market has just gone up from there. We went from zone overnight. We went from the 305-306 zone this morning in the pre-market down to the 1300 level, 1301. Then we have another zone up to the 1305-1306 zone, and we follow that all the way up to the 1310-1311 zone. You can see there.
Good morning,
and we have been going sideways here.
Can you hear me now?
1310, 1311 zone for a few minutes here. Probably the last 45 minutes. You can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 150,000 contracts have traded in the 1310, 1311 zone here.
Michael, can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can hear you, Dwayne.
All right. Hey, you did really good jumping right in there.
You usually jump right in after the intro.
Well, I pushed all the right buttons, flipped all the proper levers, pulled all the switches, but the mic wasn't plugged in. So it doesn't matter what you do on the mixing board or any of the other stuff. If you don't plug the mic in, it just doesn't work. So anyway, here I am.
There you are. Team effort.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll play well on the podcast later after the fact. Everyone in the audience, hope it was good for you. All right. So here we are. Now, I think, as I was struggling here, you went through and explained what's going on so far in the markets?
Yeah, pretty much it's been an uptrending day, zone to zone to zone to zone. And we dropped down from 1305 down to 1300, back up to 1300, then to 1310. So that's, I only started with this morning though. So if you want to go back farther than that into yesterday.
Well, yesterday we rallied up to the 1516 weekly zone. And late yesterday we sold off down to, I thought we had hit 1301. I guess we didn't quite get all the way there. And then this morning, we did hit the 1301. We hit it on the overnight Globex, our pre-market this morning. We did hit the 1301, and then we bounced out of that zone beautifully. We pushed right through the 0506, no hesitation at all. Pulled back right into it, and then ran to the next zone, 1310, 1311. So, off the open today, off the open we've had a nice 11-point run. If we go look at our sentiment indicator, we were watching this area all morning and saying this is going to be the make or break. Prices traded above it, and I was really waiting for that short trade to present itself. But I defined the parameters for taking the trade, and price just did not. This is what I was watching for. I was waiting for price to break this trend line, which it has now done. Okay, and so I need to see it come out of the zone. In other words, trade below 1310. I need to see it get below the BBC here, which is green. The cycle indicator is already pointing down, although I'm not too crazy about the way it's starting to kind of go flat right there. But if price does trade below 1310, then I will participate in a short trade down to this area and potentially this area. So even though we've switched up on the sentiment, now, how important is that? Well, let's go back and take a look. We looked at this in a live trading room this morning, but I think everyone should see. The last time the sentiment indicator changed was back on March the 23rd around noon. It went bullish, March 23rd. Today's the 29th. And yesterday, it went bearish. Okay, from the 23rd to the 28th, it was bullish. And then on the evening of the 28th, afternoon evening, it did in fact go bearish. And this little breakout to the upside here, let's wait and see. Price will come back to at least, going to suggest, to test this area right here, 1308, 1309. Even if it's going to trade higher, maybe to this Globex high here, which is a weekly zone, the 1516. Okay. If it's going to go there, I got a good feeling it may come back to test this first. Okay. See how it'll come back and test, and test, and test, and test. See how each one of these tests gets a little bit lower, a little bit lower. And that drops. Okay, see that repeated over and over and over. So now, based on that, if I want to be short out of here, this area, then I've got to be cognizant that this area right in here is this area right here. So based on that, do I really want to take that short? Well, let's see if it sets up. Let's see what it looks like if it comes together. Michael, what else would you...
Yes.
Anything else you want? It's been said on this radio program before, so I'll say it again. You're CTA. Now...
I am. Yes.
Anyone out there who manages money for people, okay, I want to issue you a warning, okay? Don't do too good of a job. Recently, during congressional testimony, Robert Kuzami, the director of the Division of Enforcement for the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, also known as the SEC, faced tough questions regarding the SEC's response to the Madoff scandal. In response, Kuzami revealed an investigative initiative concerning hedge funds. And I'm going to believe this would apply to anyone else who manages money for people. Okay? Listen to this. Enforcement is now focusing on hedge funds that outperform market indexes by 3% and do it on a steady basis. Kuzami said that such performance is aberrational and stated that enforcement is canvassing all hedge funds for such aberrational performance. So if you manage money for somebody, do a good job, earn your money, just make sure you don't earn them 3% above what the index returns for the year, or you might find yourself subject to an SEC investigation. Is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, that's completely ridiculous.
They're going to let Madoff get away with billions, okay, but now, okay, we let this pendulum swing a little too far that way. Let's see how far we can swing it the other way. Don't try to beat the market by 3%, or we know you're up to something. In fact, one columnist said, he was quoting Kuzami, but I think he was taking a little poetic license. When he quotes Kuzami, he says, the only way anyone could beat the market by 3% is by being a genetic freak or a criminal. So, there you go. Take your pick. What do you want to be, genetic freak or criminal?
I suppose I sort of am a genetic freak, so I'll go with that. I'll go with genetic freak.
Now, you know, when you think about it, guys, people go, well, you know, beating the market by 3%, that's kind of awesome. Well, depends on the year, you know.
Yeah.
The S&P doesn't always finish positive for the year. On the what's the average, Michael, over the good years, the bad years, was it 8%?
It may be 8%.
It might be 8. Okay, yep. So let's say it was 8. So if you gave your client 11%, then, and you did that consistently, I guess, you know, more than 1 year, then you could become subject to an investigation. So, now, what's 11%? That means over the course of a year, you turn $10,000 into $11,100?
Yep.
Right?
Exactly.
Or you turn $100,000 into, I don't know what, $111,000?
Yep, $111,000.
Yeah, math's not my strong point. Okay. Now, if I buy one E-mini contract and I put up $500 of margin to trade that contract and I take 1 point out of the market, I make how much money?
10%.
I trade one contract, if I take one contract, no, don't jump to the end. If I trade one mini contract and I take 1 point out of the market, how much profit do I make?
$50.
$50. Now, we agreed that I had put up $500 in margin to trade that one mini contract, correct?
Mm-hmm.
There you go, guys. 10% of my $500 in margin, $50. The 1 point of profit. That's a 10% return on my money, which could literally happen in a matter of moments. However, the SEC is now going to bother themselves, worry themselves, chasing down every scoundrel that can produce 11% returns, not in a matter of minutes, annually, over the course of an entire year. So, all right, that's all I got
to
say about that.
They're going to have their hands full because most hedge funds need to do that, or they won't have. You know, the minimum investment for a hedge fund, you have to have $1 million liquid. So, you know, people aren't going to put money in hedge funds when they can put it in a mutual fund,
right?
And you know, and get the same type of return.
Yep. That's it. Okay, I know that if you don't have anything else to add, I know you've got a meeting to go to, I've got a meeting to go to, and I want to first thank everyone for giving Michael and I the day off yesterday. It was much needed and well deserved, and so we just want you to know that we appreciate it. Bert is out of the office today. He will not be with us, so let's immediately go to our studios in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Dwayne. Good morning, Dwayne. I know you guys are just playing with me. How are you two?
Well, now that I got my mic plugged in, I'm pretty good.
Well, good. I've got my mic plugged in. If you hear the beeping sound in the background on my side here, we've had a power outage, and we've got battery backups going, so that's what that sound is.
So you're running everything. How long will your battery backup last?
We can run for about 4 hours on the whole system, including our... We have quite a pretty sizable battery backup. Mm-hmm. So it'll allow us to run for about 4 hours with screens up, you know, because screens use up a decent amount of power.
Right.
So we're running on it right now, and we're waiting for the...
Well, the good news is you only have one screen, so...
Yeah, we're in our second hour, I think, right now, of the outage. Anyway, I've got a lot to talk about, and I know you guys are probably running today. At least Michael's dancing. I think that's what I hear in the background.
That is it. You hear me dancing?
I hear you dancing. He's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Is that what's the name of the show?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. We this weekend had our Reflected Wave seminar, and we had just a really wonderful time. I met people. You know, when you talk to people, you don't know what they look like, and then you finally meet them. And just honestly, I don't know if they're back from their trip yet or not, but just a really, really nice bunch of people. Very interested. A lot of really good questions, and I felt wonderful about it, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with them online afterwards, you know, and helping them with it, and all that. So I enjoyed myself immensely during this thing, and really enjoyed meeting people from all over the country who were present, and just wanted to say for those who are listeners on CFRN that it was really my pleasure. I walked away from that at the end of the day, tired, but very, very pleased with the quality of the people that had showed up, if I can put it that way. So,
well, David, I'm sure glad things went well. I know you put a lot of time and energy into planning that, and mm-hmm. and for those listeners who were not able to attend, you do have another one coming up in June, correct?
That is correct. We have a June 4th and June 5th with some seats still available on that one. We have a number of people who are intending on going to that one, but they have not purchased yet. We'll see how that plays out, but we do have some seats left for that one. That will also be at Las Vegas here at the Mirage Hotel. And, you know, if you have an interest in that, you can give us a call, or you can go to masterforecastercourse.com and take a look at the site there and read about it, and still give us a call, and we'll talk to you about it. And so with that, let's take a quick look at around the markets. I know that we have the S&P. Originally, let's step back just a couple of days here. On earlier last week, on Wednesday or Thursday, we had forecast that Friday would mark an important top in the S&P. The market did put that top in, and it has declined off that top. And then today we've rallied nicely off that top off that bottom that we just made today. We in our support and resistance, probably similar to what you guys have, we had 1,300 on the downside. And the market reversed off that level and is continuing to advance right here very quietly at this point, you know, after that initial move that we had today. So we'll see how this plays out. We may have a roadmap a little bit later today as well. In fact, we're inching in on the point in time where we would have one, and we'll get to that in a minute. If we can, Dwayne, I'll switch over to a couple other markets here.
Sure.
We'll take a quick look around. I know
you
guys
move. If you, we're good. We're good for a bit. So don't feel the check.
I'll go through as fast as I can because I know you guys. You know,
I
know
the charts that you want to bring up, Michael. Can you any of the charts other than what market do you want to go to, David?
Well, I was going to first just take a look at gold. If you have that, this would be the April gold.
Are you in a position to do that, Michael?
Okay. Let me grab the charts here.
Yeah. While he's doing that, I'll just briefly, just to again save us some time. April gold, we had, for those of you who don't know, you can go to Daniel's Trading and Bert Schlichter, who will, if you'll give him your email address, you'll be on the list and you'll get these free trades that we're giving out in a number of different markets right now. Gold, we had forecast a top on March 24th and then a initial decline of 32 points off that high. And that would bring us from that high from 1448 down to 1416, which they did complete yesterday. That's the initial move. Gold has the potential for a much larger move on the downside, but this initial target area, Dwayne, whenever we give that initial target, that's a very good place to take a good chunk of your position off, and then we'll see if gold continues lower. And this is one of the trades that we've put out there on the daily, off of the daily chart. 32 points is $3,200 per contract. There's no way you could have gotten all of that, but it's not unreasonable to think that you could have gotten 1,500 of that or 1,200 of that on the downside utilizing that forecast. So that was the initial trade that we had given out. There's one other one that, unless you have any comments, either of you on gold, or if you want to, please jut in if you have it.
Michael,
no, I have gold up right here. I just brought it up.
Are we on the same...
Sorry, Dwayne.
I was just trying to make sure Michael and I had the same contract. I actually had the gold. I could have brought that one up. But,
yeah, GGCJ.
Yeah, it's just I'm running a 10-tick range, and you've got a 4-tick. That's why it looks different. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, on the daily basis, these look like shorter term, but it's fine. You know, gold, it just declined sharply. It was a setup that... it's kind of just a natural position for the market to decline, and hopefully we'll see lower prices here as well for those who are still holding for the aggressive exit. The next target down on the downside, I think, is the $1,400 level. I think that's the next level down that we would trade to, and then again book some gains.
That's,
so
you
just
know,
keep that in
that's
mind.
That's $18 lower.
Yeah, that's correct. This should be a pretty decent move under normal conditions. First the $32, then an additional $15 down from where we are. And we'll update this throughout the week. You know, we'll just continue on as we go through the week here, and we'll see where we end up there. We don't have anything current in the euro. We finished the euro trade. And I'll have something probably in that. But the one that I did like, we had forecast also for the 23rd/24th, a top in the crude market, and for a $3,000 per contract decline off of that top. That top was at 106.46, and that would take us down to 103.46. Today's low was 102.98, so a really nice completion on the downside. This also has the potential for further decline, but we're running into another time cycle that might actually have us reverse here, and we'll message that out when Bert returns. So there's nothing I can message out today because he's out having his baby today, I think.
He's having his baby, yep.
Right.
I think today's the day. Somebody said earlier in the earlier session that they thought it was Thursday, but I don't know for sure. And
no, he had a couple of false alarms there.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You mentioned that, yeah.
Okay. Now, earlier today in the S&P, we had shorted the S&P up at 13,1150, and so we're watching this decline here. Normally, we should get a tradable decline off of this. We're at 13,10 right now. You know, it's quiet, so we may end up having to take a little smaller initial profit because of the quietness
lack
of the market
volume.
Here today. Yeah, lack of volume. Yeah, thank you.
We really don't have much volume. Since the open, we have about 800,000 in volume.
Yeah, that's surprisingly low, isn't it? And it's been this way for a couple of days here. Michael, do you attribute that to anything in particular on your end? Is there anything to attribute it to?
I don't know of anything other than the global events. You know, there's when everything first started happening with Japan, you know, the tsunami and all that, and then Libya, on top of it, the markets took off and went crazy, and now it seems like there's just a lot of indecision. And so nobody's doing anything, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I throw my opinion into the ring here?
Absolutely. It's your ring.
Well, no, here's what I'm thinking. We went through that last quarter of 2010 was so uneventful, so flat. I mean, we were just blessed some days to get a 4-point range in the entire day. And I think a lot of people did the very thing that we did, is they went out and found some other markets to trade. And I think a lot of people found out that they liked those markets and could do well in those markets. And it used to be the S&P 500, that was kind of the game in town. You know, whether you were in the U.S. or in Japan, that's what if you were in, you know, you woke up in the middle of the night. And so I think part of it is just that. That a lot of the people who used to only trade in the S&P 500 are now, I think it would be interesting to do a study of some of the other markets, things like the 6E, crude, and see if some of the volume that we now see missing on a day-to-day basis from the S&P 500, some of that volume is increasing in other markets. People are taking
possibly.
Their money elsewhere. That's just my
thing. Yeah, possibly. Under normal conditions, I was mentioning earlier that we're very close to a potential roadmap top here, and that's one of the reasons why we would expect normally a tradable decline off of these levels here. And so we'll see how the market plays that out here. Again, it's very quiet, very low volume. A lot of what some people might consider to be what's called complacency, which is where people are just comfortable with the market at these levels. They're not particularly frightened. They may not be particularly bullish or bearish, but they're not frightened. They're not particularly agitated. And the market just, you know, trades very comfortably at these levels. So it should be interesting to see. We're still coming up off that March 14th weekly bottom. For those of you who weren't there, we explained fully at the seminar why the week of March 14th could very easily be forecast. We showed this demonstration several times throughout, many, many times throughout the seminar, how and why the March 14th bottom was so easy to call because of a principle that we laid out about the nature of how reflected wave works. So, and then also, in accordance with that, we also showed how we called the March 25th top as well in the S&P, the daily top in the S&P. So right now, the market is putting in a shorter-term top right here under normal conditions. We might be able to spike to a slightly new high. We do have some natural levels up at 13.12, which they almost made it to today. And then we would see normally several-hour sideways to lower from here. So I'm hoping to see that. And really, Dwayne, because I know you guys have to go, I mean, I have a bunch of things I could go into, but
I don't want to cheat the audience, and I don't have to be at my meeting for a while. I know that Michael's only got about another 10 minutes, but if you have some things you want to talk about or discuss or point out.
Well, I don't know. let's see. I could talk about...
I understand that you two just finished up a seminar and you're running on battery backup, so...
I kind of am running on battery backup here. Actually, the lights just came back on. You'll notice the beeping is no longer there. So we ran about 2 hours there with the power out. So something pretty good happened. One thing I do want to mention, this has nothing to do with markets, but I've said this before, and I think it's a really good idea. You know, everybody in general is about 3 days away in your house from tragedy in the sense of not having food or water. If something were to happen, and I'm not saying that something's going to happen, but if something did happen, most people have maybe 3 days worth of food and water in their house or less than that. And so if electricity were to have gone out, as an example, or if for some reason the food supply was interrupted or any number of other things, once you get beyond that 3 days, you're 3 days basically away from anarchy because people
right.
start getting very antsy. And this is why I've mentioned before, and I'm saying this not directly related to all the world events, but certainly with that backdrop, you can say that it's probably not a bad idea to have maybe a month's worth or more of this nitrogen-packed food, which we talked about last week or a few weeks back, which we've purchased to just be sure that we have something just in case something happens. That's all. And there's so much going on in the world right now. America, you know, is managing her way through all this stuff, but there might be some periods of interruption. There might be an earthquake. There could be any number of things. And so I just want to remind people that it might be well worth your while to spend $200 or $300 and go get a month's worth of this type of food where it has its own heater inside of it to heat the food. They're really nice meals. They have napkins, condiments, and everything else in there. And that would allow you to have food. And then, of course, one other thing is that you can live quite a while without food, but you can't without water for very long, maybe 4 days or something. So it's also a good idea to maybe stock your garage or some other area with some water that you could have access to in case something were to happen.
Is there any gray poupon in there?
I'm sorry?
Any gray poupon?
There's probably gray poupon, but the only problem is when things are this rough, there's nobody with a Rolls Royce to roll the window down and hand it to you. And so, you remember those commercials? Those
yes,
people who
that's
are
exactly
old enough to remember that?
What I was talking about, right?
Tastes like Grey Poupon, but it's not supposed to.
Right, yeah, exactly. The modern version of that is a guy in a Lamborghini. He pulls up, I think, and he has his pretty girl hand out the Grey Poupon. Anyway.
Alan would like for you to comment, if you could. And I agree with you. And, you know, you said a couple hundred bucks is the cost, but yet the shelf life is extensive.
About 20 years. And you can ultimately, you can eat it, you know, long before then, and then replenish it. And so it's an investment that you don't have to worry about. Listen, before I hear what Alan had to say, and if this is the Alan that I met, I'm very happy to have him on today with us. It was a pleasure. It really was. It was just delightful to meet all these people. The one thing I just wanted to say about this nitrogen food and this other stuff is that I'm not a conspiracy theory person. I know conspiracies exist. I know that they're attempted all the time, but they're very easily seen through with some scrutiny. Most all of them fall apart under scrutiny. The human element is the weakest part of all of these things. People can't keep their mouth shut. People can't, you know, all kinds of things happen. And you'll find if you are a hardcore conspiracy theorist, you'll find out that life really doesn't allow, there's so many ways that these things can fall apart. It's extremely rare, extremely rare, that people pull one off that is the Mona Lisa conspiracy where just even under scrutiny by professionals it just can't be seen through and can't be found. Having said all that, I'm not believing any big conspiracy is going to happen, but I think that it struck me that the typical family doesn't have enough food in the house if something goes wrong for 3 days, and I'd like to not be in that category, and I'd like you not to be in that category either, so that if you know, even a month's worth of food can put you 10 times better off than people who hadn't made that planning. So, you know,
Well, I'll say this. The first time you ever brought this subject up on the show that I recall was the day before these earthquakes hit Japan.
Right, and I know.
What kind of indicator
you
got for that? But
we had a couple of phone calls on that, too, and people think that I'm doing earth disturbance, you know, stuff, and I'm not. I really am not. I don't have the methodology for it. I wouldn't know where to start on that, but I am concerned enough that I think I would just want to say that to people, and it doesn't cost very much for a full month, you know, or more, and that way you're really good shape, especially, you know, you've got people that are there with you that you wouldn't want them to suffer, and et cetera, so even if you don't care about yourself, you know. Go ahead with Alan. I'd like to hear what he has to say.
The Alan that you actually met said, nope, different Alan, but he really enjoyed meeting you as well. And the Alan that had the question wanted to know if you would talk about soybeans and T-bills.
Yes. Sure. we had a forecast in soybeans. I'll only talk about it if he buys the nitrogen food. How's that?
Okay.
Tell him to send me the receipt. Prove it to me. No, just joking. we had a forecast originally that, again, all these dates, this is another thing for the cycle people. If you're looking at your charts and you're noticing, instead of forecasting on one market, learn to forecast on a number of them, and you'll find that a number of them will have the same dates, not all the time, but quite often, and that can be a very powerful indication that that date really means a lot and that your forecast, you know, the larger portion of your forecast will definitely be completed because there's going to be a lot of power and a lot of steam in those reversals. Initially, we had forecast March 24th as a bottom for the soybean market with an initial 28 cent advance off of that bottom. That bottom was 1338, and if you add 28 cents to that, that brings you up to 1366. The swing high was 1369, I believe, and maybe a little bit higher on this. Let me just double check this. 1369. So they completed the initial half. So now check this out. Anything that you have now that would be a bullish indicator, whether it's a normal indicator, Dwayne's and Michael's, or Michael's and Dwayne's indicators, I say it both ways, so they both get full credit for doing this. Because if I said it the one way, then the other person would get angry after a while.
Okay.
Well, Dave always introduces you as the Dwayne and Michael indicator.
Here's what you can do. If you want to call it the Michael and Dwayne indicator, you can call it the MAD indicator. Or if you want to call it the Dwayne and Michael indicator, you can call it the DAM indicator. See?
See that? You can do it either way.
Okay, that's
either
good.
Way.
But they're both equally responsible for its, you know, the fact that it's marketed at and it's out there and it's available. So even if you're using theirs, and this is something I want to say, I kind of like using their indicator as potentially a short-term, if you don't have your own, as a short-term indication to get long, as an example, and then hold for the longer forecast rather than necessarily taking it off as a trade. I mean, this is just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking
you.
No,
I follow you.
Yeah, continue to change, you know, what they're doing, but you could use their indication. You know, you could use our forecast and you could use their indicators. Our forecast is a bigger picture thing. We're looking for a multi-day or multi-day move. So in soybeans, we're actually looking for the market to go up about 56 cents under normal conditions off of that bottom that was made on March 24th. If the shorter term indicators start telling us to go long, I would want to be long in that market for a continued advance, you know, and a nice breakout. So just keep that in mind. That's kind of an interesting idea, to use a good short term indicator to get into the market and then hold that position for the longer term forecast for this market. For those of you who follow this, they got a very fast advance of 28 cents up. You know, 28 cents is a nice trade. That's a $1,400 trade. You wouldn't have gotten all 28 cents. Maybe you could have gotten 15 of those cents, 12 of those cents, whatever it is. It's a nice trade. And then from this point forward, if they continue to firm up and start to break out, I want to be long in this market for a further advance. So that's something to consider, and if you don't have their indicators, Michaels and Dwayne's, or Dwayne's and Michaels, you can use your own already understood work to say, well, you know, if this thing gets bullish again here and starts to move up, I'd love to be in this because I want to be in for that second larger advance here. which would take the market substantially higher here. And let me give you an example of where that would be going. It would be essentially going a test or an attempt up at 94. So that's another nice move up here. So we'll keep that. Let's just all keep that in mind. If we were to break out on the downside, then I would message to you. I don't want to confuse you, you know, throwing too much stuff out right here. That would mean that the turning point in actuality came as a top on March 25th, one day later, and that we would be looking for substantially lower prices. We're beyond the inversion window now. We have completed the first half of the target, and we'll see between today and tomorrow. I would wait for something a little more bullish to happen here, just as my personal input here. I'd wait for something a little more bullish to happen before getting too excited about the long side for the second leg up of this. And so that's great. You know, it's a good little, it's a nice little trade. I wasn't able to participate in this trade. I was at the seminar this weekend, and so I pretty much, you know, didn't take advantage of this, but I'm waiting myself for another shot if they give it to us on the long side here. So we'll see.
Okay.
That's basically everything we have. A nice move up to 94 is in the cards if we get any more bullish breakout or anything important. One such idea, if somebody wants to follow this, is if we got a daily close above 63, that would just about confirm that move was underway. We don't need an outright breakout, you know, typical, everybody knows what it is, breakout. Simply a daily close above 63 would definitely help get me in. In our work, 63 is known as a square. And when the market can close above a square, this is not a square like, you know, square of nine or something like that. It's not that. It's just a term I named many, many years ago. And if the market can close above its square, then it is in a very strong position. And since we already have a backdrop of a forecast for higher prices, that would be itself a very bullish indication that I would want to take advantage of for higher prices. So that's the soybeans. We're one halfway through. We've got one half of the gains off of it, and we'll see where we go from here over the next day or so.
Okay.
Later in the week, we have a couple of other important dates coming up. I won't go into the dates right now. Rather, we'll just wait until we get a little closer, and we can tie those in with further moves in the soybean market. I'm hoping that because somebody asked about soybeans, that they've realized what a just, you know, to use an 80s word, bitchin' market this is. You know, it just really kicks, and I've done very well in this market, and probably, to be honest, have probably made larger points gains in this market than I have in the S&P, especially over the last year when the S&P was really, really quiet, even though it was advancing. It was really small intraday movement. So the soybeans have been very good. So I'm hoping that the question was there because they're understanding that this market really is something special. It has a lot of interesting and easy setups in it. So does the euro, by the way. That's another market that I've grown to like. And I think what you said earlier, Duane, about people moving out of the S&P and into some of these other markets is likely very true. So that, you know, widens all of our understandings of these markets, and we have a wider number of ways to make money. For if anybody wants the trades that we're giving out through Daniel's Trading for free, they just contact Daniel's Trading, Bert Schlichter. He'll put you on the email list. People have asked, why are we doing that? It's very simple. Bert works with Duane. He works with us. He's on all of our webinars. He's a licensed broker, and he would like to trade on behalf of people who are unable to be in front of their screen all day. Maybe you have work of other type that you have to do, or just whatever your lifestyle is, you're not in front of the screen all day, but would like to take advantage of these. He knows how to put these trades together and make something out of them. So that's what he'd like to do. Now, so we're giving the trades out for free right now so that you and other customers of his and our customers and other people can see that they work. It's a win-win situation because ultimately we will charge for these. We'll have a product. You know, we're doing the work now for free, but we'll have a product if people like it. It'll be inexpensive. In the meantime, if Bert gets some customers out of it, that helps Bert. And we're spreading the word about these trades, and that helps us. And Bert then continues to work with Dwayne and us. We both, Dwayne and I, like Bert. I think I can say that without doubt.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, we want to work with him. So this helps everybody by doing this. So that's kind of why we're doing it. It's kind of a win-win situation for everybody. You guys get free trades that are hopefully really usable for you. Bert has an opportunity to possibly trade on your behalf. You're not obligated to do that, but if you want to, he's there and available. And then ultimately, we'll turn this into a product, and then you can just get this stuff directly either from him or from us. So that's what we're doing with it. There's should be no mystery about that. And so, let's see, Dwayne, I think really that's really about it, other than my calves are sore from carrying equipment and everything else.
I want people to think about this. Some people out there might go, well, you know, I don't need him to place trades for me. I'm my own man, and I can carry my own weight. And, you know, it's not even about that at all.
No.
Think of it more as being, you know, a big shot who just calls in your trades or something. I mean, you can play with it in your head however you want. Just don't let your ego get caught up in it. That's what I want to say. I'm not saying which way you should go. I'm just saying don't let your decision, whatever decision you make, be based on ego. Of whether it's, because I'm just speak from my own personal life. I place some of my own trades, and Bert places some of my trades for me. I could be at lunch somewhere and call Bert and say, where's the market? What do you think? Yeah, let's do this, let's do that. Or if, in particular, he has carte blanche on the soybeans, if there's a trade put out on the soybeans, there's no phone call. I don't make a call. He doesn't make a call. He just puts the trade on, period.
Yeah. It's really a matter of convenience that it's there if you want it. And he frames them up. He's taking the time. I send him the trade, and then he breaks it down and puts it into an email and says where the entry should be and all that stuff. He's taking time and energy to do that. We're all working for free so that ultimately it might turn into business for him, and it ultimately will be a product that we'll have. Also, one other thing I do want to mention, we have a product that's called the Russell. It's basically support and resistance for the Russell. That's been sort of just a background product for us, and that's going to go away in about a month or less. We have a small number of subscribers who seem to like it, and but we are going to get rid of it. So just letting you know that that's going to be replaced by something else here in the near future. So for those of you who, you know, are using that, just realize that.
You know, interestingly enough, we haven't traded the Russell for years, and we just last week Michael started trading it again.
And
he actually, I think this morning in the live trading room, we put on three trades, and he was successful on two of the three.
Oh, that's great.
I've not gone back to trading it yet. I'm just going to watch him for a while because
there's nothing wrong with the Russell.
Nothing
wrong with the Russell.
Yeah, I mean, other than it's volatile, and often it makes move. You know, the S&P. Tends to, you know, if the S&P suddenly makes a big move in the middle of the day, you can pretty much go to CNBC or someplace and tie it into some kind of material fact. Something happened, somebody said this or that, and the market made a big move. The Russell, it just does it. Out of nowhere, it'll just move. Ding!
Yeah.
You're like, what? Really? Okay. And you know what? If you're on the right side of the trade, great. If you're not, so you have to just be... You always have to be mindful of stops in the market, but in particular with the Russell. And the Russell can sometimes require a wide stop, so you have to be okay with that. And certainly plenty of money to be made trading that market. Lots of people do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No, it's our smallest product. You know, we have a large number of people on soybeans. We have a large number of people on the S&P. The Russell's been a smaller product. And honestly, I don't know that it's a support and resistance product. I'd like to do something more with it, but we really just don't have the time at this point to do that. So we're probably going to replace it. So just letting people know, it's not a big deal. Just letting people know that. Well, Dwayne, I am planning. I know you guys have to go. Yes, we have. It's interesting you asked that. We put out a trade in the T-bills yesterday. Was it Friday? that under normal conditions, the March 28th plus or minus a day would mark a bottom for a very tradable advance in T-bills. Today, we are near that bottom. T-bills, I've asked the audience before, because this is a new market to us, and the methodology that I'm using on it, I'm still not completely clear that I have full understanding of the how that market works in our methodology, spatial relationship forecasting. It has to do with the trickiness, has to do with its tick value. I'm still a little weird on that, so I'm still working with it, but I am giving out the trades because I've gained a decent amount of confidence about where we are. But let's just wait and see. I think it'd be better for us to message these and maybe not take these trades until we see a little bit more clearer picture, you know, like repeated successes like we've had in these other euro, gold, and crude before we jump on this. And I may have something in the T-bills later during the week if they firm up here. We're allowed today to make a new low in this market, but that would be it. And then we would see a reversal here normally in this market. So we'll talk about it during the week. We have another 3 days left in the week and plenty of opportunities to set some of these larger trades up. So with that, Dwayne, I know you have to go, and Michael probably has already left.
He's already... Michael has left the building.
But again, I want to thank anybody who was out there that was at the seminar. I really enjoyed myself. That's the first time in 15 years I've been in front of a crowd of people. And we had paramedics on the side there in case I shook too much and fell over in a cold sweat. They had water waiting for me. Jody was there to rub my shoulders. But we made it through. You know, we got through all of it, and we had a really nice time, and really, really nice quality people took the trouble and time to come out there. And I was moved by that. I really was. I actually was touched by that. So I'm looking forward to the next one. Dwayne, I do have to run. It's my pleasure to be on the program,
and I'll plan on talking with you tomorrow. All right. Thanks so much, Dave.
Okay. I'll see you then. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys, I know we took the day off yesterday, and now we're not really leaving early because, well, we started 3 minutes late, so technically. We promise an hour, but we over-deliver every day. We go an hour and a half, 2 hours, which is probably more than enough for most people, but tomorrow we should have a full day for you. But today, this is gonna, you know, just kind of wrap it up. I think what I will do, I normally go back to my charts and leave the one-hour chart running, but Michael has his charts up right now. And you can actually see three different markets. You can see the Russell, you can see the S&P, and you can see the soybeans. So I think at least for now, I'll just go ahead and leave his charts running. I still have to get all of the weekly zones onto my chart, because I was away yesterday, and I've got to get those updated. I do want to say this, that 1310/1311 area, that is a weekly trading zone for us. The market has traded since we got there on this move up. We've gone sideways for about an hour and 10 minutes, roughly. We've traded 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 200, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. We've traded 260,000 contracts so far inside of that 1 point range. Now, almost every day, every show, you hear me count something like that. That's what the weekly trading zones are all about. There are areas where the market will be forced to make a decision. Sometimes we'll trade right through one, but if we do, we almost always pull back to it for support and confirmation before moving up, which is exactly what happened this morning. If you look at a 10,000 contract chart, we made the initial run up, and then we pulled back to the 1305, 1306 zone, and then we continued up. We started the day at the 1300, 1301 zone. We ran up to 1308, pulled back to the 1306, which is the 05-06 weekly zone, and then we continued up to the 1310/1311, and we traded now, whatever it was I just counted, 200,000-something contracts out of the total daily volume. And on the entire Globex session, we have traded just over a million contracts. So almost a fourth of the volume has been traded in a one-point range, 1310 to 1311. Now, I hope that that says to you, wow, that really is a decision area. Now, might the market just turn here and head down? Yes. After all of this consolidation and all of this volume, all of this participation, might it continue on the way up? It might. Next number overhead is 1516. Below us is 0506. We do the levels every week. We've been doing them for about a year and a half now. At archive.cfrn.net, you can look at historical charts. You can see how it's played out for the past year and a half. For us, they're incredibly valuable. We have an idea going into the week. And once we publish the zones on Sunday night, they don't change during the week. They're just the same. They're fixed. They're constant. David has fresh support and resistance numbers every day. Mike Reed at TradeStalker, he has fresh support and resistance numbers every day. And when those daily numbers line up with our weekly numbers, it's usually pretty good. Just like David said earlier, and I have not had a page trader window open today. In fact, Bert has my window because he trades beans for me. I had no idea that David had a 1300, 1301 daily zone. That was a weekly zone for us. But again, his daily number lined up with our weekly number, and we're currently trading 10 points higher at 1311. So, I guess I should say, if you haven't taken a free trial, you're welcome to. cfrn.net/apply, or you can sign up over at christiantraders.com. And over the next few weeks and months, we're going to be building out Christian Traders to include a forum. Back in the day, when we originally launched Christian Traders, we had 2,500 members at one point. A very active forum. Unfortunately, there was a few people with some bad ideas that just kind of spoiled. After numerous threats, well, first request, then pleading, then threatening, and then getting aggravated, I just shut the thing down. Just shut it down. 2,500 members, shut it down. Because, it's hard to imagine that would happen on a Christian site, right? Yeah, well, it wasn't profanity or anything like that. It was people promoting things that I didn't want promoted because I didn't think it was in anyone's best interest. And they wouldn't let it go. And so, anyway, we're gonna try it again. We're going to do it all over. A place where people who are believers can hang out, meet people. You don't have to join or pay anything. You can just come and hang out and participate in discussions. And, you know, if it goes south again, guess what? I'll shut the door. Because I'm not going to jeopardize my own self, my own livelihood, and put myself in the legal crosshairs of anyone because of what some people might say on a message board that I own. So there'll be some strict rules. That's what it'll cost you. The price of admission will be you have to obey the rules, you know. So anyway, that's all coming. We're working on that. It'll take me a while on a few lines of code, but then it'll happen, and then you can go and hang out. I mean, we have the chat room here now on CFRN, but at the end of the day, that goes away. Like, you log in, and then you log out, and then it's gone. But the forum will actually be a place where you can go in, and you can start discussions about a specific topic. Like, people who like to trade the 6E, you can go in and exchange ideas and thoughts and techniques and, you know, or soybeans, or gold. You know, if you're a follower of gold, you can go in. That kind of thing. So, other than that, now that I have fulfilled the obligation to give you an hour of public radio, I've gone an hour and 1 minute. So I'm feeling really good about that. Watch the 1310. If price trades back below it, the chance of going to 05, 06, I think is pretty good. At least 06. Certainly 08. 08 and a quarter. If we continue to close above 1311, then look for a move up to the next zone at 15/16. Now, at the beginning of the broadcast, when my mic wasn't plugged in, I did plug our sponsor, but no one heard it, and it didn't make it onto the recording, so let me plug them now, okay? Today's broadcast has been sponsored by Audible.com. To get your own free, I said free, audiobook download, here's what you do. Go to audibletrial.com/CFRN. There's over 85,000 titles to choose from. Put it on your iPod, your iPhone, your iPad, whatever kind of MP3 player you have. You can actually listen on your laptop, your computer. But it's a free audiobook. And it everything from business to fiction to religion and spirituality, children's books, you name it, 85,000 titles. And you can get one audiobook free. Just take the trial, audibletrial.com/CFRN. And again, if you've not taken the CFRN free trial, I encourage you to do that, cfrn.net/apply. Come hang out with us in the live trading room for a full week. Watch the indicators in action. We walk you through everything, help you understand what they do, what they're telling you, how you can trade off of them. And then we do community workshops once a week. And you have access to the members area where we're building, in the process of building, an extensive video training library. So we invite you to take advantage. Come hang out. Other than that, I got to go to my very important meeting now. So thank you so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.